It just didn't work out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. General Motors is expected to announce today its bondholders have rejected a deal that might have held off bankruptcy. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch joins us. Dan, what didn't happen last night?
Well, bondholders had a midnight deadline to agree to swap $27 billion in debt for a stake in a restructured GM. They had to get 90% of bondholders to agree to this, and GM is expected to announce this morning that far fewer than that actually agreed. And what this basically means is that bankruptcy is imminent.
And I understand the American taxpayer might be a bigger owner of General Motors than we thought?
Yeah, well, one of the things that's emerged is that nobody really wants to own this restructured GM. The United Auto Workers struck a deal to cut its stake in half. Bondholders basically said that they'd rather get money for their debt in bankruptcy court. The U.S. government is looking at a 70% stake right now, basically in exchange for injecting $50 billion or more to help GM restructure during Chapter 11.
And what kind of majority owner would the U.S. government be?
Well, all reports are saying that the U.S. government would be a hands-off owner. They would not have any government employees on the GM board. No government officials would be involved in the day-to-day operations of the company. You know, the government wouldn't be involved in decisions about which factories to close or which contracts to renegotiate. Basically, the government would be injecting this capital, would be taking on this stake, and then would be looking for the earliest opportunity to divest and recoup the money for taxpayers.
Marketplace's Dan Gretsch. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, today, General Motors meets in Berlin with German and U.S. officials about who's going to buy GM's European division. Fiat is one of three strong bidders there. And Chrysler heads to court today to ask a bankruptcy judge for permission to sell its assets to Fiat. Chrysler says it's either that or liquidation. But a group of Chrysler stakeholders is protesting that the government is speeding the carmaker through bankruptcy without regard to its creditors. In other news, the price of oil keeps rising. It's above $63 a barrel this morning. That's a six-month high. And Saudi Arabia's oil minister says it'll keep climbing. The minister made his comments today ahead of tomorrow's OPEC meeting in Vienna. From the European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
The oil minister, Ali Naimi, says that global demand for crude is picking up. He claims that consumption in China is rising strongly, and that's already been reflected in the recent price rise. Naimi says we could easily see oil hit $75 to $80 a barrel later this year. But many analysts are rather less bullish about crude. Simon Wardell of Global Insight says we're not seeing much higher consumption, just higher storage. Speculators are buying oil and storing it in the hope of higher prices.
We do continue to see inventories rising. In fact, there's a lot of speculation that we might actually run out of storage sometime in the next 4 to 6 weeks because we still have a surplus in the market.
Wardell says if world oil storage capacity does run out within the next few weeks, the price of crude could drop like a stone. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Yesterday's news that U.S. consumer confidence has surged, that is still ringing in investors' ears. Hong Kong shares jumped 5%, leading other Asian markets upward today. European stocks are up under 1%. Wall Street boomed yesterday, with the Dow gaining 196 points to 8,473. More than 90% of economists predict the U.S. recession will end this year. So says the latest survey from the National Association for Business Economics. However, that survey gets less reassuring the more you learn about it. The forecasters also said this year's economy will be worse than they thought, and next year it'll grow by just 2%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. American Public Media presents The Next American Dream. What will it look like? Find out more at nextamericandream.org.
Zales, the diamond retailer, reports quarterly earnings today. They're expected to be lackluster, what with customers cutting back on the luxuries. Some makers of luxuries are cutting back as well, quite literally, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
If you're looking for the latest in luxury, you could ask your butler, or you could always turn on the Colbert Report.
Times may be hard, but they've led to some exciting new products, like the popular new Smoke for the Elite Nubs, which are shorter, cheaper versions of luxury cigars.
At 4 inches, nubs are kind of like half cigars. At $6.50 a piece, they cost about half as much as a typical cigar. Sam Lacia created the small smokes. He says they've caught on.
I mean, it did close to $8 million in its first year, and those are really big numbers for a brand right out of the gate.
Nubs are among several luxury products going small to make it big. The affluent aren't spending like they used to, so high-end restaurants are expanding their appetizer menus. Tony Hotels are promoting shorter stays. Even perfume is going petite.
Welcome to the world of Harajuku Lovers Fragrance.
Pop star Gwen Stefani launched the Harajuku Lovers fragrance line in the fall. The bottle designs are inspired by the Harajuku Fashion District of Tokyo. Karen Grant is a health and beauty care analyst with NPD Group.
These were about a third of an ounce and extremely successful. It was one of the best-selling launches that we had for 2008.
So successful that a few companies, including the one behind Stefani's line, are planning to launch other small bottles next year. Milton Pedraza is the CEO of the Luxury Institute.
I think it's just adapting to what the consumer needs. It's still a premium product. It's still efficacious. It's still beloved. It is still a very high price, but it is more affordable on a by-the-slice basis.
Pedraza says luxury consumers are loyal to their brands. And if more companies took a cue from cigars and cologne, they too may find that less is more in a shrinking economy. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And I'm Bill Radke in Los Angeles. Have a luxurious Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.